Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. I hope you have been having a good week. In the second hour, I am very pleased to be interviewing British vocalist and toaster Ranking Roger. As an original member of seminal 80s two-tone band The Beat, or the English Beat as they're known here in America, Roger has a career in music that spans over three decades. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him. That's coming up in the second hour. But what have we got coming up this hour? Well, for questions that matter this week, we're considering, do we still value professional journalism? As usual, I've been out and about interviewing people on the street and getting their opinions aimed at starting us thinking, and very grateful to people who stopped and talked to me and gave their opinions on the fly. And, you know, it's interesting to listen and think, if you had been stopped and I'd asked you these questions, what would you have had to say? Anyway, first, let's hear what John has to say. Hi, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
John Welch.
Well, thanks very much for stopping, John, for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at, do we still value professional journalism? I'm just wondering, do you have trusted sources of information for news that you defer to, or do you have an egalitarian approach to news sources with the internet now and how you get your news and what you trust?
Yeah, it seems like it's more complicated than just the one paper or the one TV show. It's I guess I get a lot of stuff, and I hate to say like everybody, well, I might get my news from the Daily Show, you know, that's kind of everybody says, which is kind of a sad thing that the comedy show is one of the places people trust more than a lot of places. But I guess personally, I'm kind of I do a lot of research, like people tell me, I'm kind of critical, so people tell me stuff and I double check it a bunch of times.
So you do fact check things?
I fact check almost everything I read, because there's so much stuff that just floats around. The internet's so full of stuff, like the sky is falling and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
But I think, and journalism is turning into, you know, it's branching out into WikiLeaks and all these different things that we wouldn't have called journalism necessarily. And
I mean, what do you see as professional journalism? I mean, I think, you know, maybe independence, using sources, fact-checking, I mean, all of that. Does that still seem valuable to you? Or do you think that, you know, citizen journalism, which can, you know, be reporting in the moment or not fact-checked, but be getting information out there that perhaps wouldn't otherwise? I mean, those are the sort of two sides of it. How do you see the place of professional journalism now?
Yeah, like citizen journalism is really important for the on-the-spot things, like, you know, police brutality in Baltimore or whatever, you know, like here I am with my camera, but it's not like you say, it's not a professional fact-checked thing.
Because also in those kind of instances, perhaps you may think a certain thing is happening and report that or video that, and it may be not the whole story.
Sure. I tend to sort of have this idea that we should do, because the sort of for-profit model of professional journalism is having a hard time right now, and I don't really like, especially when it gets like, the money gets scarce, the sort of salesmanship of the professional journalism dominates more and more, and I'd love to see sort of a publicly funded journalism that's more stable and doesn't have to do circus tricks to get you to watch it and that kind of stuff. Though you run the risk of, like, well, then you're Pravda or something, you know, everybody said, oh, the government-run newspaper in Russia, you know, that's sort of a bad word.
Maybe the BBC is a good example of that.
Yeah, and NPR and that kind of stuff. But it's not sort of just political bias, but it's supported. It doesn't have to make money, so it doesn't have to be sensationalism and sell you you know, scoop the latest thing about Kim Kardashian before the next place does, you know, can talk about sort of news more, you know, and not have to be worried about generating, you know, profit and stuff like that.
Right. Is there a news source that you trust that you don't feel is affected by those kind of market concerns?
Well, I still like NPR. It's got its it's got its sort of mainstream thing. With, you know, it's but I think it's still good. And BBC and I used to love CBC when I was up. I spent a bunch of time in Canada. I really respected their stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's this new push, you know, for news to come from the people. Do you still think that professional journalism and the way that operates is necessary for us to really get at the truth?
I do. I think that there's that the job of being a journalist is not something. There's extra stuff that professional journalists can do that just anybody with their iPhone isn't. You know, the intensive research and that kind of stuff. That I think that should and should still exist. It's about. I think there's a. It'd be valuable. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously journalists have certain protections. You know, their sources and things like that ordinary people don't. That allows them to try and get us the truth in theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another model that I've seen going up in San Francisco. It's called the public press. It's kind of a nonprofit newspaper trying to generate, you know, without ad revenue, sort of a subscription-based thing. That's a nice project that's been going on for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And the kind of stories they can do are, you can tell that they're you can tell that the kind of stories they do are more for community benefit than to, you know, be exciting and sexy to raise money. You know, they can get away with less of that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. Well, thank you very much for your opinions. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being a journalist.
Thank you. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations on our topic this week. Do we still value professional journalism? Well, next up, I spoke to Amanda and Jake, so let's hear what they had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Amanda.
Hey, I'm Jake.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're doing, do we still value professional journalism? Dan Redding of Smashing Magazine states, according to the elements of journalism, written by Bill Kovac and Dom Rosenthal, journalism's first obligation is the truth. Journalism is the pursuit of truth, accuracy, and fairness in the telling of a story. Journalists serve and inform their audience by investigating and reporting on news, trends, issues, and events. Much like designers, journalists pride themselves on a duty to provide their audience with user high-quality content. So I'm wondering, do you have trusted sources of information for news that you go to, or do you have a sort of egalitarian approach to news sources?
I don't have, like, one source of information, I guess, like, a wide array to check information, I guess.
So you would just be looking on the internet generally? I mean, do you look at Facebook for news, or where do you find your news from about America or the world?
I don't know. I guess I just hear it on social media platforms and then investigate it if I find it interesting.
So do you fact check things that you read, or do you tend to assume as if they're billed as news that it is news and it's therefore true?
If it's something that I'm interested in, like the topic,
then you'll fact check it?
Yeah.
Okay. And what about you? Do you have a place that you get your news?
Well, I tend to use the Huffington Post for a lot of my news. However, like, when things seem like they could be fudge, or there's some incentive to like exaggerate certain parts of the story, it is good to fact check and see what if there's a different perspective. I do that.
So we have a lot of citizen journalism happening, you know, because you can post things on social media and because everyone has a phone camera now, and you know, you can blog about things and get things up. With traditional journalism, you have a situation where the sources are checked, you know, that there's a sort of responsibility to make sure what you're saying is the truth, and it also is
not opinion. It is trying to lay out facts.
Yeah.
Do you see a value in that still, or do you think that, you know, now we can just sort of read whatever we want on the internet and it's up to us to try and work out what's the truth?
I think that talking about that has like a traditional academic approach where you need like hard evidence and you need to follow up with sources, and I actually support that because I'm into academics and science, and so like I think that peer-reviewed process is important. However, ultimately, like, there is an editor that will use the interests of the media source as their like motivation, and that it's important to like know, and you know, it's a lot of times it's pretty obvious, you know.
Yeah. What about you?
I guess I would basically say the same thing, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So you still see a value in the more stringent kind of form of journalism. Yeah. What do you feel about political reporting? Do you want that to be independent and fact-checked? Because it's very easy, you know, with political campaigns the whole sort of birther thing with Obama, you know, there's still people who think that he hasn't got a birth certificate. So it's very easy to kind of get information out there that's not truly independent or even true. So do you feel that that's an arena where, you know, perhaps traditional journalism is more important, or just you see that as the same as other areas?
It's very important for the reason that a lot of the grassroots political campaigning uses those types of buzzwords and like hysteria to cause a lot of like unrest, and a lot of times a false accusation can cause like, you know, irreparable political damage, and you know, and that's all they need. It doesn't necessarily need to be true to have some effects, and I think that's exploited quite often.
Yeah. Do you think there should be a higher burden of responsibility with bloggers and people like that to actually be trying to be more like professional journalists, or do you think they're just a different animal and they can exist as they are now, just giving their opinions?
I mean, they can do whatever they want. People talk. It's almost like gossiping has become has gone into that arena. And so it becomes more of that type of relationship, you know, instead of so much more of like a news audience type of relationship.
Yeah.
It is more of a peer-to-peer kind of gossiping,
yeah,
idle talk, you know, type, yeah, of feel.
So if there was some sort of cataclysmic event in the world, is there some way you would look to find out what is happening about that, like CNN or the BBC or, I don't know, the New York Times, or not really? Is there nowhere that you would look to? You just go online and sort of see what's happening?
I'm not quite sure how to answer that question. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. What about you?
Catastrophic events a lot of times don't need a political charge. A lot of times they'll attach it to it, and those kind of things become pretty obvious in the grand scheme.
Where would you believe what was being said, though? You know, where, if you needed to find out, is this really happening? You know, this is going on in, I don't know, Sacramento or whatever. Is it really happening? Is there a source that you would trust to tell you that?
I look to the Huffington Post and the New York Times a lot of times, you know, and a lot of times speculation can be pinpointed, and speculation is just like, you know, they're kind of filling out of their story,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
in view.
I'm just intrigued, finally, because you don't really seem to have any sources of news. Are you interested in the news, or are there other things that you, are taking up your interest?
It has to be a story that really grabs my attention or that I'm truly passionate about, like the stuff that was happening in Ferguson. That was an example of something that really fact-checked, because there's a lot of bias going around,
yeah,
of like ambiguity and stuff.
So would you find out about that through social media and then go into it more if through your own investigation, if that was something you're interested in?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, both of you, for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good night.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more from Out and About after these messages.
the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland. Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copeland, and my on-the-street conversations on our topic this week. Do we still value professional journalism? Burke said there were three estates in Parliament, but in the reporter's gallery yonder there sat a fourth estate, more important far than they all. So spoke Thomas Carlyle in his book on heroes and hero worship about a parliamentary debate in 1787 on the opening up of press reporting of the House of Commons in Britain. It's one of the first comments about the power of the press. And recognising this power, standards grew up around professional journalism, but new technology has given rise to citizen journalism, which isn't held to the same standards. Does this matter? Well, next for Out and About, I spoke to Jonathan on the street about this very topic. So let's hear what he had to say. Hi, my name's Ruth Copeland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan. Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're doing, do we still value professional journalism? I'm wondering, when you think of professional journalists, what comes to mind for you? What do you expect? What standards would you have from a professional journalist?
Well, the standards I'd expect would be, I suppose, as unbiased a view as possible, given the information available. But it seems like there's a big gap between that and what we actually get. I guess to me it seems like journalism has kind of fallen back to where it was in like the early 1900s, where it's more propagandist. That's what I'm looking for. Almost brinksmanship rather than actually being about information. And I kind of think that we've strayed far away from what journalism needs to be. Because in order to have an informed electorate, we basically need journalists and sources of information that aren't inherently bought already with regards to their opinions.
Yes.
And most of our mainstream media sources are owned by large multinational corporations that really don't have an incentive towards national loyalty, which might explain why we don't really get many stories that might have to do with, say, like international economics, global trade, and like anything like that that has to do with bigger picture issues and how they tie into domestic events.
Right.
And so I mean, I guess with regards to professional journalism, it'd be really, really wonderful if we valued it more.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have trusted sources of information of the news that you defer to?
Well, if you can find blogs for the actual journalists in the field, that's about as unfiltered and unbiased a source as you're going to get. They're on the ground, and they're reporting directly with regards to sort of what they're seeing, experiencing, and hearing. As soon as it's filtered through some sort of, like, aggregation source, whether you're talking about, you know, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, even places like Huffington Post or Salon or the National Review, like, it's always filtered through an editor who generally has pressures on them from above. And I don't think that necessarily means they lie or anything like that, but I think it does mean that some of the information gets filtered and kind of edited out, even if it's incredibly relevant, because perhaps they don't want to be stepping on toes that might be attached to an Aslaftikus later, is really what it is.
Right, yeah. I mean, what about organizations like the BBC, for instance? They're often thought of as very independent. I mean, would you trust something like that, or The Economist, or NPR? I don't know.
One of the interesting things, I suppose, that I found is that it seems like you can get better reporting on issues in America from foreign sources, mm-hmm. and vice versa, because
right,
they don't have the same sort of stake in it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I would tend to trust the BBC on reporting about America, but I have friends who live in England who don't trust what the BBC says about domestic reporting in England.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's an interesting approach. Okay. Pressthink.org refers to the people formerly known as the audience who now want to be part of the news rather than just consumers of it. With the rise of citizen journalism, the whole concept of professional journalism is in flux. I'm wondering, do you weight citizen journalism equally when it comes to news gathering?
No, I don't. I'd love to be able to, but I think I've perhaps spoken to too many of my fellow citizens. And intentions might be very good, but they really haven't had training, and they might not necessarily have any background in the issues that they're talking about. So while they might be reporting what they see and what they hear accurately, they might not really fully understand the context or history behind it. So the reporting they give is not really going to be good reporting.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Do you think people give thought to the fact that a lot of information on the internet is not verified by secondary sources, you know, like it is in traditional journalism?
From reading comment boards, kind of, no.
So do you think if people sort of, it's billed as news, then people think it's implicitly the truth?
Yeah, I think that is the common trend, right? People choose the sources that they think are credible, but most of us, you know, the news isn't supposed to be there to tell us what we already believe. It's supposed to be there to tell us what's actually happening, which may or may not correspond with what we already believe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. In many Western countries, journalists are granted a constitutionally protected freedom to promote social goods, such as a diversity of views and a comprehensive analysis of events. And they're protected from revealing their sources for this reason. I'm just wondering if you think citizen journalism could undermine professional fact-finding. And you know, do you think professional journalism is worth protecting in this respect?
Yeah, I definitely think it's worth protecting. I think we need to do a much better job of protecting it. I mean, like I said, you have large multinational corporations with their own motivations that own these institutions, that own a large chunk of the mainstream media, and they don't necessarily have a vested interest in the truth.
Right, yeah. I mean, how would you go about doing that? By having something that was more publicly funded by another country, sounds like. That would be the ideal.
Well, we technically have a free press such that, you know, the government isn't allowed to use our press as a mouthpiece unless it's specifically stated that, you know, this is a message from the government, right? So we have laws regarding that. And I guess what I'd suggest is that if you have these large multinational organizations, that those are kind of quasi-political entities and they should probably be governed by the same restrictions. Perhaps news sources should be perhaps the sources of our news should be required to, by law, be financially independent. And that might, I think that that might be a reasonable way to go about it.
Yeah. Someone else I spoke to was talking about, I forgot the name, an organization that's trying to do a subscription-based news. So it's not based around advertising, you know, having to get advertisers to fund it. Do you think that could be a way to go, perhaps?
Yeah, possibly. It would also make the comment sections far more useful, because the sort of people that post ridiculous drivel are probably not going to pay for a subscription.
Right, yeah, that's true. Yes, yeah. I'm wondering how you feel about political reporting. It seems like that's an arena where traditional journalism that is fact-checked and, you know, properly sourced is particularly relevant, because people are making, you know, decisions about who governs the country on it. Is that an area where you see journalism as really needing to be held to a high standard?
Yeah, well, right now it's almost like tabloids. I mean, right now political reporting is a lot like, you might as well be reading a tabloid, right? They're reporting on every little thing someone does, right? But, or says in public, right? But there's considerably less reporting about what they're actually doing. I mean, talk is cheap. It's very easy for anybody to get up and say, I believe in this, I believe in that, I think we should do this, I think we should do that. But then the way they vote isn't reported, and that's what really matters. So, I mean, the fact that it's seems to be based largely around ratings and getting attention, yeah, rather than conveying important information, I think has been kind of leading to a rather poorly informed electorate.
Mm. That's an interesting point, because, you know, the original idea of journalism was serving the people, serving the public interest, and it does seem to have become more, as you say, of a sensationalism in all areas, even serious areas.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that that really does all of us a disservice, because it leads to us having these, leads to us, the electorate, like citizens, having these ridiculous conversations amongst ourselves about, oh, well, you know, so for example, Ted Cruz had this gaffe recently where he had this joke in his speeches about, you know, you can just say Vice President Biden and that's its own punchline, without realizing that, oh, that's right, his son just passed away and that might be in really poor taste. So there's tons of reporting on that, and then there was people go, oh, see, it's Ted Cruz, he's a bad person and all this, and it was incredibly poor taste. Then the other people who aren't in favor of the Democrats, you know, people who are Republicans or independents or what have you, will say, oh, well, you know, when Sarah Palin was running, they brought her kid with Down syndrome into the conversation, all of that, and it becomes this sort of like tit for tat argument about totally irrelevant things.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, do you think ideally a more professional, traditional journalism would just not even be interested in all of that?
Well, why should they be?
Yeah.
It's not relevant. What, you know, talk is cheap. What they say on stump speeches, what they say along the campaign trail, like, that's all nice and good, but if they have a considerable voting record that's completely in the opposite direction, then what difference does it make what they're saying? Because their actions indicate where that they really believe.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and so we are overwhelmingly not getting that.
Mm.
And that's the only way I'm aware of to make an informed decision.
Right, yeah. And how do you think we've got to this place? Do you think that it is to do with the internet and, you know, the availability, you know, the possibility to disseminate information so easily, any information?
That's part of it, but I actually think antitrust law plays a role in a lot of this also, because all these, like, large media companies were allowed to expand and buy up increasingly large portions of the sources for information. And, you know, that the sources of information, it's no different than anything else. If you have too much of it controlled by too few people and too few organizations,
yeah,
then they all tend to kind of tote the same line, and that deprives us of, like, multiple perspectives.
Yes, yeah. Well, I really appreciate your opinions. Thank you very much for sharing them.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and we're considering this week's topic. Do we still value professional journalism? I've been out and about talking to people on the street, and I'm always
impressed by what people have to say. And it's interesting to think, you know, if somebody just stopped me on the street and started asking me deep questions, what would I have to say about it? And I think that's part of the magic of this out and about feature, that while you're hearing what other people are saying, you can be thinking, wow, what would I have said if I was asked these questions? So thank you very much to everyone who talks to me each week. It's great having these conversations, and it's certainly very thought-provoking. Well, the next person that I spoke to was Paul. So let's hear his thoughts. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name is Paul.
Well, thanks so much for stopping, Paul, for our Out and About feature. And this week we are considering, do we still value professional journalism? The Elements of Journalism states that journalism's essence is a discipline of verification. Citizen journalists and bloggers have a tendency to report without second sources, and it's easy on the web to report information, say, from another blog, for example, without checking the source of the story, or to report a story as it's happening, as you see it, without perhaps knowing all the facts. I wonder if you see this as a problem compared with professional journalism, or if you think the benefits of getting breaking news or less traditional perspectives is worth the risk.
Well, I see value of citizens as gathering information. I see them as less value in reporting it to the public for precisely the reasons that you just said. It needs to be vetted. There needs to be objective training criteria based on people who've actually have training, have developed these skills in presenting an accurate picture of what's going on.
Do you have trusted sources of information for news that you defer to?
Trusted is a relative term.
Where would you hope to go to get as close to the truth on events as you could?
Where I see my news every morning, I go online and I look at the New York Times and the Guardian.
Okay.
Beyond that...
So you are looking to traditional journalists to give you your information?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm also of a... Oh, yes, yeah. And John Stewart is... Thank you.
Yes,
perhaps my most trusted source of information.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not the only person who said that, actually. It seems that, certainly online, but increasingly in the media as well, that opinion is becoming part of the news. I mean, in traditional journalism, that's always flagged up as editorial, but it seems to be bleeding into certain news sources. Is that something you're aware of?
I'm aware of it. I would agree with you to the extent that in print journalism, punditry, a firewall exists between actual erstwhile objective reporting versus punditry. Unfortunately, from what I see on Fox News, CNN, that line has been hopelessly blurred.
Yes.
And I think the same could probably be said for websites like Slate and Salon.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They're more punditry than news delivery.
Yes, yeah. In many Western countries, journalists are granted constitutionally protected freedoms in order to promote social good by giving a diversity of views and a comprehensive analysis of events, and they're protected, you know, from revealing their sources for these reasons. I'm wondering if you think the kind of punditry that you were talking about and also citizen journalism could undermine these kind of protections, whether it could erode them as we go forward.
I'm not sure how. If the Justice Department can go after someone as illustrious as James Risen of the New York Times and threaten him with prosecution lest he reveal his sources, if they can go after high-profile New York Times journalists, I would think going after a citizen journalist without an institution behind him or her would be that much easier.
Right, yes. One of the most worrying areas, it seems, where facts are essential is the political arena. Anne P. Mintz of Desk Set Intelligence says, while there is credible information on the internet that helps voters learn more about candidates and issues, there is a shady side as well. Opinion masquerading as information is frequently accepted as fact by individuals who have neither the training nor the inclination to skeptically evaluate the reporting they encounter. The birth of controversy counts as just one example of how misinformation can be spread virally and never completely put to rest, no matter how thorough a debunking it receives. I'm wondering how you feel about political reporting and the importance of fact-checking and how, you know, the whole internet now is affecting the electorate.
Boy, that's a lot of questions in one. there's no question in my mind that propaganda works, that punditry designed to influence and create attitudes, most egregiously by Fox News, but I think it can be seen in sites like Salon and Slate. Yeah, it's people I think now feel entitled to present. They're polemicists. They're not reporters. So they only feel an obligation to present their side of the story and to barely give lip service to inconvenient facts.
Yeah.
And we even see, unfortunately, that lies are, you know, people can present facts whenever they want to.
Yeah.
I mean, information that's purportedly statistically verified, you know, more often than not turns out to be nonsense.
Do you think this is something that, I mean, asking you to speculate, but the average person thinks about, that, you know, the information that they're getting may not be as, you know, independent, as vetted as it used to be, say, 30 years ago?
Well, as Nora Ephron once said, I try to be cynical, but it's so hard to keep up.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks to Paul there. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and my Out and About conversations. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more from Out and About after these messages.
Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Every day, horses are rounded up, captured, sold, and sent off to be cruelly slaughtered for food overseas. The horses you see out your window today could end up on someone's dinner plate tomorrow. We simply must do something to save them. This great country was built on the backs of the horses. They helped us plow our fields, pull our wagons, and they deserve all the dignity and respect afforded other American icons. The horse helped us craft this nation we know and revere today. This is country music star Lacey J. Dalton. I have dedicated my life to save Nevada's wild horses, but I cannot save them without your help. Your generous donations are the only chance some of these horses have. Visit letemrun.com for more information. Join me. Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Visit letemrun.com.
Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis states, I become one with the essence of nature. This process puts me in touch with the soul of all living things. Owners of Doreen's beautiful paintings can vouch for this truth. Gazing at a painting by Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections throughout the United States, in England, and in Germany. Her paintings are on display online at DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com. And experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings.
It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And this hour, my on-the-street conversations on our topic, do we still value professional journalism? And if you have any comments on this, do please email me at ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd love to hear your opinions. So that's ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And also remember, you can hear podcasts of all my shows on the website. It's a question of balance.com. We've had some really interesting topics and some great guests. So you can hear those shows at your own convenience by going to the website. And you can also link to me on social media, should you wish, on Twitter. My Twitter name is at Ruth Copland. Link with me on Facebook and LinkedIn. So that's the website. It's a question of balance.com. Well, the last person that I spoke to this week for Out and About was Aubrey. So let's hear what she had to say. Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Aubrey.
Well, thanks so much for stopping, Aubrey, for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at, do we still value professional journalism? Journalism has been said to be the pursuit of truth, accuracy and fairness in the telling of a story. I'm wondering whether you have trusted sources of information for news that you go to, or whether you have more of an egalitarian approach with a wide source of news available now.
It's a little challenging. I think that one of the most trusted news sources that I actually trust the information that they give me is NPR. Nowadays, there's so much independent media and journalism that it's difficult to find. You know, if you're looking for, because I really don't trust any sort of mainstream journalism at all, unfortunately. And it's challenging to feel that way. And I think that that's how most regular people feel, because there's not much integrity. Most network journalism is owned by this corporation or that corporation, and so I feel like most of what's coming out is propaganda for their message. So as an independent person hearing or looking for quality journalism, you know, really the internet, more trying to find quality sources, but there's so much there that that's challenging. So like I said, NPR is like one of the main things, and then from people I know locally, that mainly word of mouth to good sources is what I'll find out, or through social media of people that I trust and connect with that have done actually the work, because it kind of takes a lot to research and find stories and know what actually is coming from two sources, which is challenging.
Yeah, so you would see sort of the corporate pressures as more of a threat to true journalism than, say, citizen journalism.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that, you know, there was a time within the history of America that I feel like there were many people within journalism that fought very hard. I mean, their jobs, they risked everything to be able to educate and inform the public and American citizens to make quality informed decisions about what was going on. And now with corporate control and corporate money, and I mean, you can see it within our government right now. Money would not be so relevant in literally buying our candidates for presidency, buying every aspect, if we actually had quality journalism. And the people that do risk their lives and their careers, you know, there's total slander. And it's actually been intense for me to see with WikiLeaks, with all of the people that have come out to try to say, hey, this is what's going on, and we're going to risk everything to try to educate and inform the American public, and the way that they're being dealt with, like really like never before, sort of how intensely with prison, with that they're being dealt with. And so it's scary at this time to really, if you want to bring quality, real information as a journalist, it's really, I think it's a scary time to do so. But it's unfortunate, because we need more sort of heroes in journalism. We need more pioneers. We need more people who have the courage to bring us the truth. And as the regular consumer, we need to know where to access that, because it's hard wading through so much crap. And this source is bought by these people, and the rightists and the leftists. And I feel like when it really comes down to it, most people don't care about any of that. They just want to know real information, because we're so sick of this side getting pitted against this side and all of that stuff. We just, you know, want to make the best of sort. And I think as a result, most of the American public is more apathetic than anything. And I see that with myself, that's something that's really, like, I'm a person that I care about the issues, I care about what's going on, I want to know, but because of the level of propaganda that's put out, to engage too deeply into it is, like I said, it's giving my attention to something that is actually draining to my energy and my awareness, because there's so much delusion within it that in order to keep myself not apathetic, you know, I need to find more positive ways to put my energy. And I think actually, personally, I actually watched a TED talk recently about a woman that calls herself a real live mermaid, and she's talked about how creating these totally inspiring videos about her swimming with manta rays and whales and all of these things have done more to change the public's opinion and get people on, like, activated and like activists signing her petitions and her causes. She also worked with The Cove. I don't know if you've seen that series, but she said she worked with that, and it was terrible because nobody wanted to see that information, and it didn't help get people who were interested finding there. So I think that in this time right now, with all of the insanity that's going on, one of the best ways, I think, that if we really want to change things, is learn how to take the issues that we are really passionate about and utilize our creative skills to create something beautiful that will inspire people to care about those issues rather than just trying to give more negative information.
Right.
Because it's kind of creating a positive propaganda that's educational.
Yes.
And to me, in this time right now, I don't see any other effective way to really deal with a lot of what's going on. So.
I mean, that's a presentation that's more positive, but presumably you're still wanting the facts to be the truth and double-checked and sourced and all the rest of it.
Well, which she does within, you know, that was what she was talking about, is which at the end of her, it's just that with viral, with YouTube, with all of these things, you put something really amazing on there, and these videos of her literally swimming with the manta rays, insanely beautiful, but it creates something that allows humans to have a connection personally with it, instead of creating more of an apathy that people turn away from. It creates a connection that people are able to understand and relate to and love and want to actually engage in that type of media and then care about the issue because they feel a connection with it.
And it's interesting. I wonder if it could be used for more sort of news type items as well.
Well, I think that to me, what I like about that idea is in news, what we think of, the first thing that I think of when I think of news is insanity everywhere, basically. Negative focus. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I kind of feel like it's the edgy, like, cutting edge way to really re-engage the public again through inspiration, through education, through inspiration, education through, I'm seeing sort of like a revival of the artisan kind of happening in the world right now, especially as we in the American culture have seen that we've outsourced everything to different countries all over, and sort of there's a reawakening of how important it is as companies close because we can't sustain our own thing here, of how important it is to be creating the creative gene, the entrepreneur, how to like make our own things here. And I see more of a value being put on that again, and local and all of these things. And I think that's part of, I think, potentially a revival in news is how to get the public engaged instead of feeling apathetic about things that are really important in ways of like working with artisans, working with producers, working with people in a way to utilize the media, which is one of the biggest things that people are connected. People go to the internet, they look at all these things. So how do we use that to inspire people to care, to create a connection with whatever it is that we're hoping to educate people with and care, you know?
one of the aspects of citizen journalism or blogging is that a lot of opinion gets mixed in with fact. Yeah. Is that something you see as a problem?
Yeah. I mean, it's really difficult, too, because I see now within social media, that's a really big thing that's challenging for me. First of all, I don't necessarily so much like politics in my social media. I will sometimes, people who I know have done a lot of research and looked into their sources, I'll go to them specifically asking for sources of things because I know they've done their work. But a lot of stuff, because social media is the way that it is right now and with all the algorithm stuff and everything like that, it kind of pigeonholes people within certain levels yeah. of what information they get. And a lot of times, I mean, anything can be posted without any sort of relevant information, and people are constantly yeah. looking at all of that and yeah. processing all this information that's not true because 500 people liked it that they knew or something.
Right. Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And also you get fed what you have been interested in.
Exactly.
So you get more of the same kind of coming
exactly.
through rather than perhaps, you know, independent or different perspectives. Yeah.
Exactly. That's yeah. also, I think, a real issue right now, and it's something I've thought about of, like, how do we, because I care about way more than whatever algorithm might say that I care about. There's a lot more that I'm interested in.
Yes. Yeah.
And like I said, social media is a bad place to get that anyway, unless you have people that are, you know, it's a good place to go if you have activist people that you know that are really
yes. yeah.
working to find, you know, like, fact check things and look at sources and all of that, but it's a lot. It's a lot of work in our world where everything is like
yeah.
at mercury,
yeah.
like fast rate speed right now. It's hard to keep track of all
yeah.
of that. That's why I said the inspiration sort of model is another way to re-engage, I think,
yeah.
the public, you know, because
yeah.
I don't know at this point
yeah.
how to get a public that's so distrustworthy and apathetic of our whole system re-engaged. And
yeah.
that
yeah.
worries me. And but I think the inspiration is the key.
Right.
Simply because it's cutting edge, because
right.
people don't expect that. They just expect more bad news.
Yeah.
And so if you give them something that pulls their heartstrings and that they can connect to as a human being,
yeah.
then maybe they'll care again,
yeah.
you know?
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And what we do in the first hour of the show, if you just joined us, is take a different topic each week. And I go out on the street and have conversations with people who agree to stop and talk to me. I don't know who they're going to be in advance. I play all the interviews that I record. So it's a bit of a luck who I get, and I don't know what they're going to say, so I'm certainly not trying to push any particular opinions. I'm just featuring the opinions of the people that I get in the hope that it makes us start thinking about what we think. So, you know, I'm wondering, listeners out there, what do you think when you think of professional journalists? What do you expect? Do you have certain standards in mind that you want? Do you have trusted sources? Do you want your news to come from sources that are checked, fact-checked, more than one source? Or would you rather just have immediate news that gets to us as it's happening and, you know, verify it later? Or maybe fact-check it yourself, which is the new kind of approach of citizen journalism. Anyway, thank you to all the people who took part in my on-the-street conversations this week again. And to let you know, coming up in the second hour, my special guest from the arts is British vocalist and toaster Ranking Roger. He's an original founding member of seminal 80s two-tone band The Beat, or the English Beat as they're known in America. Roger has a career that has spanned three decades of making really wonderful music. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him. Hope you can stick with us. That's coming up in the second hour. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Join me after the break.